Next on BYUSN, BYU football's injury report is out for the game at Arizona this weekend. Are there any surprises, and how does that shift our expectations for Saturday night? BYU heads into Tucson as only a 1.5-point favorite. With weather in the mix, are we expecting a close game between the Cougars and the Wildcats? BYU defensive back Evan Johnson details the Cougars' defense's strong start to the season and the keys to slowing down Noah Fifita and the Arizona offense. And what is the number one thing we want to see from A.J. DeBonsa, Richie Saunders and company in the blue-white scrimmage tonight at the Marriott Center? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Today is Thursday, October 9th. My name is Jason Shepherd, and if you were tuning into the program yesterday, there was a moment where both Spencer and Jerem looked right into the camera. It was as if they were looking right into our souls, which most of the time they do. Our social media team took the opportunity to take a still of this image and then posted a caption challenge contest, and he wanted to find out what you thought they were either thinking at that moment. Here are the top five captions that we got from BYU Sports Nation here. This one in from Matthew Jack Moon says, how my parents look at me when I tell them I need $500 for a ticket to the Utah game. I do like that he does put in parentheses, I'm 25 years old. I do like that. This one from Jay Winters. Okay, which of you is going to Shreveport? Well, I'm going to follow up. Since I know Spencer's gone to Shreveport and it didn't go well for him, my guess is it probably would be Jerem in that situation. This one coming in, when someone proceeds not to have situational awareness. Very nice. Is this the Tanner Wall? Us? All right, that is the Tanner Wall. BYU safety. Us when we have another 3.5-minute TV timeout when we just had one before the kickoff. I am so happy to hear Tanner complain about that because, look, there are way too many timeouts. And then when you have a timeout and then you immediately come back and have another stoppage in play, it's very frustrating. And then this one from Hank Spears. Listening to Utah fans explain why, even though it was a hold, it shouldn't have been called. Very, very nice. Very nice. Look, we ask for your captions. We ask for you to chime in. And you always, always come through. And we certainly appreciate it here on BYU Sports Nation. And look, and since we saw the still, I think it's probably fair that we at least ask the person, or at least one of the people in the still, what were you thinking, Spencer, at the time as you were looking into the camera?
I can't believe Jerem brought up ice cream again when we both know we're starving.
I thought maybe you were going to say Jerem brought up 17 plus.
Well, that too, but the curse has been broken, Jason.
It is true. It has been broken, yes.
The curse has been broken of 17 plus. So at least we have that going for us, but I appreciate you navigating us through the caption moment, and we appreciate all the responses that we got from so many of you. Wild response there. If you want to have a good laugh, go look at some of the ones that we probably shouldn't read on the air, but are also hilarious. And we'll leave it at that. On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
You know, our toughest challenge yet is going to be this week in Tucson.
Ranked number 18 in the country. Undefeated BYU football, 5-0 for a second straight season.
The next 6 weeks is, without question, the toughest stretch in BYU history, in my opinion. I don't think there's anything even close.
2 days away from BYU beginning what Aaron Roderick calls the toughest stretch in BYU history when the 18th-ranked BYU Cougars visit Arizona, rainy Tucson. More on that in a moment.
Oh, yes.
And that means the first midweek injury report was released last night. The Big 12 mandates this, Jason. So let's take a look at what the Cougars are dealing with personnel-wise as they head into this game with Arizona. In terms of those out, no surprises there. We knew about Sione Moa. We knew about JoJo Phillips and Che Bryant Struthers. So no movement there. Doubtful, however, is linebacker Jack Kelly. In the questionable category, defensive back Tommy Prassis. And on the defensive line, Anisi Purcell. Probable, Isaiah Glasker.
Siale Asera, Enoch Nawahine, Nusi Taumoipeau, Naki Tuakoi, Miles Hall, and Jonathan Cabea. That's a long list, but at least seven of those guys are in the probable category.
Yes, better that than the questionable, doubtful, or out category.
Jason, are there any straight-up surprises for you on BYU's midweek injury report?
The quick answer is no. There would be some surprises if a lot of these, certainly linebackers that we're seeing on the probable, were on something a little more dire. But the fact that they are probable leads you to believe that they're in all likelihood going to play. So that's certainly good news. No real surprises. Quite frankly, I think the one thing that every BYU fan was waiting to see was the official designation for linebacker Jack Kelly.
Oh, yeah.
Was he going to be officially out? Is he doubtful? Is there any chance he plays? I think we're all assuming that he's probably not going to play this week.
Sure.
And then you can just see what happens. But doubtful is certainly better than out. And I think that shows that hopefully maybe this isn't as long-term as maybe it looked at the time.
Okay. Now, for what it's worth, and I know that this is already out there because the media was available after practice yesterday, Jack Kelly was in pads. Mm-hmm. He was wearing a green jersey, which means no contact. Frankly, I'm surprised, based on what we saw happen on Saturday and the way he walked off the field with the trainers, that he's even in the doubtful category. I thought we would just see him in the out, right?
What are you going to do if, come Saturday night, Jack Kelly goes out there on the field and is in the lineup? Can you imagine with how – now, again, I'm not expecting that.
Sure.
But the fact that he's doubtful, it means he's not out. So you talk about going from as bad as it looked on Saturday to, I'm with you, even the designation of just doubtful is a massive increase in optimism.
Sure. I don't think we're going to see Jack Kelly play against Arizona. But frankly, you're talking about how would I feel if I did see him run out there. I kind of already felt that when I saw him in pads this week in practice and thought, really? Like, you are okay enough to be wearing pads and to be in some capacity practicing with the team? So I already had my wow moment. He is different. He is an absolute beast. And frankly, I think that if the trainer said, it's up to you, he would play against Arizona. But this is probably the smart thing to do, to just let him rest this week and get ready for BYU showdown against Utah.
If you and I went through what Jack Kelly went through in that game, you and I would be in full body cast. I would be making somebody walk around like a 6-foot perimeter, making sure nobody got close to me.
Yes.
That's how soft I am, okay? That's not Jack Kelly.
Jack is of the same ilk that Kyle Van Noy, the cloth that he's cut from. Kyle had an orbital bone fracture. He broke his face last year and didn't miss a game. He did not miss a game.
It's crazy, right?
It's unbelievable. They're just different. And so that was very encouraging. In terms of surprises, it was nice to see Jonathan Cabea's name pop back up on the list. He hasn't been available all year. So he's available now. He's at the end of that probable category. And we're all breathing a sigh of relief, speaking of BYU, that Isaiah Glasker is probable, Jason. I love that he's anticipated to play. Though BYU's linebacking core, all in some capacity, banged up apparently.
Yeah.
Like that is concerning for me.
Yeah, and look, I assumed that the designation would be probable, but at no point did I feel like Isaiah Glasker was not going to play this week.
Sure.
It just based off of the way he was trying to get back into the game. Sure. We even saw him on the field after the initial injury, and then the way Kalani talked about it post-game, it was definitely more precautionary than anything else. So I fully expected him to be ready to go for Saturday night.
Yes. Okay. So better than anticipated, based on what we were all feeling in the middle of the BYU-West Virginia game last week.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay, something else that you brought up just sort of in passing in terms of a factor in this game is going to be the weather. Mm. Saturday night, thanks to Hurricane Priscilla, there is going to be a significant amount of rain going through Arizona and specifically the Tucson area. On Saturday, they're expecting a high of about 86, a low of 73, but a 96% chance of rain. And Hurricane Priscilla could cause monsoon-like weather in the Tucson area. And for more on the weather situation in southern Arizona, let's go to our BYU Sports Nation meteorologist, Spencer Linton, at the board. Spencer.
Yes, thank you, Jason. Let me make sure my clicker over here is working correctly. To give you your weather report as we look at this gathering storm, what we're dealing with here is the remnants of Hurricane Priscilla, as you mentioned, Jason, a weakened tropical storm that will interact in a small way with a dip in the jet stream to bring this moisture-rich system to the southwest, impacting states like Utah and Arizona. In fact, as many as 4 to 6 inches of rain expected in some areas around Tucson. We're all hoping it avoids the football game as much as possible, Jason, but when you have that super hot air gathering over Tucson, we're expecting temperatures pushing 100 degrees on Thursday and Friday. That bit of cool air, and again, Priscilla, the impact there, when that combines, oh, you better watch. Have your umbrellas ready. It's going to rain, folks, in Tucson. Isn't this a super amazing high-definition graphic we have working right here?
Look, from what I understand, ChatGPT can do wonders.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jason. I didn't look at anything that had to do with ChatGPT in the weather forecast in Tucson. This is 10 minutes of real meteorology work. Yeah.
It does sound like, though, that some of the BYU players may take advantage of this with a little fun time.
Yes, Justin Kirkland, notably, is not afraid of the rain, and he will celebrate in unique fashion, if indeed it is, offering up copious amounts of precipitation and the situation, the proper situation presents itself.
Yeah, I tell you what, if it's raining in Tucson and I make a play, you're going to see a penguin slide. You know what I'm saying?
I've never heard it called a penguin slide, but as soon as he mentioned it, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I'm not going to lie, Spencer. I am super jealous that you got to be the one at the board. I have always wanted to pretend I was a meteorologist.
Well, let's just go ahead and make that happen in the future.
Look, you know, doing baseball games with me, I love to give the weather updates from the dugout. I'm super jealous.
Our resident dugout meteorologist.
There's something about it. On a serious note, though, what kind of impact do you think that the weather could play in this?
Listen, I was holding out hope that maybe the chances would go down, yeah. But it's up to 96% chance of rain, and it looks like, based on the actual radar, that it's only going to get more significant as we push further into the afternoon and into the evening.
Yeah.
And you know as well as I know, in the Southwest, in Arizona, when you have that hot air combined with the precipitation, lightning storms, like, it could literally be electric,
yeah,
in that area. We could be dealing with significant delays. Game kicks at 5 Arizona time. Ugh. I hope that this game finishes within a 4 to 4.5 hour window.
Yeah, what you just mentioned is actually probably in terms, look, there's going to be the actual precipitation and that. And look, Arizona is not used to getting that type of moisture, especially in a short period of time. So obviously you worry about
flash flooding,
and you worry about, I don't know what type of drainage system the stadium itself has. So, you know, there's all of those, but you mentioned the lightning, and anybody that's ever been to a sporting event, when there's lightning in the area, there's usually, yeah, it's usually within 8 miles. If there is a lightning strike within 8 miles, you are immediately in a minimum of a 30-minute lightning weather delay. And if at any point during those 30 minutes you have another lightning strike, you have to reset that 30-minute clock,
yes,
before you can go. So you could get to 29 minutes and 58 seconds, and there's a lightning strike, and you have to go back to 30.
It's the worst.
So that, I think, could be the thing that causes the most you know, harm to this is just prolonging all of these delays.
And it's always more difficult on the road team because you're not in your locker room. It's not typically a nice locker room. That's an older stadium. I can't imagine the conditions are great to hang out in that locker room for a while. So hoping that it doesn't come to that. In terms of actual gameplay, both of these teams, I feel like, need to pass.
Yeah.
But if it rains enough, both may be forced to just grind it out and run a lot.
And turnovers could be an issue if things get sloppy. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to play a factor. It's just how much.
Okay, so with the injury report we just showed you and the weather report that we just gave to you on our Studio B big board, BYU is favored by 1.5 points over Arizona. According to experts all around the country, SP Plus, Bill Connolly's metric, has BYU as a 3.1-point favorite. And FPI, the ESPN Football Power Index, says the Cougars have a 70% chance to win. So FPI, clearly the most favorable of those three numbers I just brought up, Jason. Are you buying, based on everything we've discussed, weather, injuries, venue, that this will be a close game?
Yeah, I think it will be a close game for a lot of different factors. I will say I did think that the 1.5 that BYU's favored was a tad low. I thought it would come in around 3, 3.5. So, but yes, I do think this is a close game, especially when you look at just how well the Arizona defense has been playing. And it's not a situation where, well, they're really good against the pass, but they give up the run. No. They're actually good against the run as well. And so I think you've kind of got strength on strength here, where BYU's offense is really starting to click in, starting to see the down the field passes and those big chunk plays. But then you've also got this defense that has been very, very stout. And yes, they played the majority of their games at home, but guess where this one's being played? It's being played in Tucson. So yeah, I think it's fair to say that this game will probably be close.
This has all of the makings of a whoever has the ball last wins the game type scenario. And I know those four fans often feel like the worst type of games. But I don't see how one team or another, outside of just crazy turnover issues for only one side, turns this into a runaway.
Right.
Like, when you have this much rain in the forecast and BYU is not at full strength on defense, which certainly will benefit Arizona and what they're going to try and do a little bit. Noah Fifita, if Jack Kelly doesn't play, the happiest guy on the planet should be Noah Fifita.
Hey, let's also not forget, if there's going to be a flood, Arizona's quarterback is named Noah.
We pointed that out yesterday.
Should we be concerned with this?
Maybe. Maybe.
Just saying.
It feels like it's going to have to be one in the trenches.
Yeah.
And when it's that type of game, more often than not, it's close because you have physically worn down your opponent. I don't dislike BYU's chances in that, right? In fact, it might actually favor BYU if that is the case, because Arizona, they know their greatest strength is the arm of Noah Fifita.
Yeah.
So if they can't do that, and there are turnover issues and interceptions and fumbles and tip passes, yeah, maybe BYU takes a little bit more advantage of that and win the game by a touchdown. But I do expect this game to be a one-score game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those ones where everybody, both sides of this, whether you're a Cougar fan or a Wildcat fan, everyone's going to be on the edge of their seat until this thing comes to a conclusion at the end. I think you're going to have to wait to the end on this one.
Buckle up, and it might be until midnight, too, depending on how things play out. Settle in for a long,
stressful night. That'll be so exciting for you on the sidelines, too, by the way. Are you taking rain gear?
Someone asked me, are you wearing the white pants? I'm like, no, I'm not wearing my white pants in a deluge in Tucson. Maybe underneath my rain gear. You know, for good vibes.
Sure.
Okay. But yeah, I will have the golf rain gear on.
And it's after Labor Day. What is it that you do or you don't after Labor Day? I never know.
I forgot about that rule long ago. You're not supposed to wear white after Labor Day, but that rule died in the 80s, Jason. Okay. It died in the 80s. Our question of the day. After seeing BYU's injury report and an over 90% chance of rain in Tucson on Saturday night, how does that shift your expectations for BYU versus Arizona? At Patrick Summer H on X answers, it's going to be a real slog. Time for the offensive line and defensive line to impose their will at the line of scrimmage and for LJ Martin to have a great game. Better be ready with the long spikes. Have the proper footwear.
That's right.
Lots of socks. Change them at every quarter or at the halftime break, certainly. At Rowdy in the Rock on X says this: as long as Kalani sprays the ball with a fire hose while Bear is throwing, we'll be good. And for my fellow fans who will be at the game, bring your ponchos and come ready to yell loud. Now, he's talking about spraying the ball with the fire hose because we saw Kenny Dillingham, Arizona State's coach, doing this with Sam Levitt earlier in the week.
Yeah.
Just hosing down the ball and then having the quarterback immediately throw it. Will it work? Who knows? Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right. Tonight, this is going to be exciting. You've got the annual Marriott Madness event for BYU men's and women's basketball. Also an opportunity to see both the men's and women's teams and have the player introductions and all the stuff that goes along with that. By the way, the doors will open for that tonight at 5 o'clock, I believe. 4:30 for The Rock, 5 o'clock for the general public. But what's the number one thing? Because afterwards, you're going to have the blue-white scrimmage, the blue-white game for the men's team. What's the number one thing that you want to see from tonight's men's basketball blue-white scrimmage?
Next to zero defense, Jason. I don't want to see any defense in this
game. Just want pure offense.
I just want these
athletes
to be able to display their athleticism and skills, above the rim play. There's no need to like ramp this thing up and play super intense defense. We want good health. We want everybody to feel happy and healthy when this game is over and for the fans to be excited. So I say no defense partially in jest, but also I'm somewhat serious.
Right.
Let them go out and do their thing and just have a good time. This is a good vibes game, and you don't want to get anybody hurt. You just want to build excitement for the season. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, the number one thing I want to see tonight, I just want to see all these guys on the floor together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like in this environment, we spent months and months and months getting excited about the possibility of what this team can be, and now everybody's going to get an opportunity to be able to see what this looks like in a packed Marriott Center, which it's going to be all season long, but with all the hoopla of an event like this, to be able to see them on the floor and the place going nuts with every play that they have, I just cannot wait to be in there tonight.
Fantastic. It's that time of year where all of these amazing sports are converging at once.
Yep, and don't forget, we've got the football coming up on Saturday, number 18, BYU at Arizona. BYU Sports Nation Game Day on BYU TV getting underway at 6 Eastern time. Cougar pregame live on BYU Radio also at 6 Eastern. And then the game will be on both ESPN Plus and BYU Radio. Don't forget, postgame coverage on both BYU TV and BYU Radio begins immediately following the game.
After the break, I speak with BYU defensive back Evan Johnson about why BYU's defense has had their strong start to the season, what makes him love repping the Y the most, and the keys to slowing down Noah Fifita and that Arizona offense. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Defense is incredible.
They just have a style, and they know who they are.
This defense is absolutely fantastic.
Pick! It's a touchdown! It's a pick six, and Evan Johnson does it again!
We're live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton. Jason Shepherd will join us in a moment. But for now, we turn our attention to yesterday's one-on-one with BYU defensive back Evan Johnson, who quite literally has gone from zero to hero on the field on numerous occasions. He discusses getting ready for that Arizona passing attack, if they do offer that in the rain, and what it means to him to rep the Y. Evan Johnson on BYU Sports Nation.
Evan, I just watched you and the team welcome another true blue hero to practice. What does it mean to you and BYU football to be able to do that for people in the community?
Yeah, it means a lot. You know, we get to hear a lot about their stories. And, you know, when you hear about people who have gone through those hardships and when they get to come out to practice, they really look up to you. It means a lot to them. And that also fuels us to go out there and play. We know that, you know, they may not have a lot of time. So, you know, just giving them that opportunity to, you know, feel loved and really feel valued, it not only helps them, but it helps us too.
Specifically, how does it help the culture of BYU football to make time for things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like our culture is love and learn. And when you have a good culture, it brings your team together closer, which just allows you to play good and trust everyone on the field. You know, if I've done this X amount of times with, you know, let's say Raider, you know, I get on the field, it's like, all right, that trust is already there. That belief is already there. So I feel like that helps bring our team together.
That established culture has helped BYU get out to a 5-0 start. In fact, BYU has won 16 of the last 18 total games they have played. If you had to pinpoint something to why it has been so consistently successful, what would that be?
I would just say everyone bought into the program. You know, everybody's doing the right stuff. And, you know, I credit Coach Hill and Coach G and all the coaches for that. You know, just their ability to really change the defense in such a short amount of time, it has really just allowed us to go out there and trust them and trust in our techniques and our abilities and all my teammates that we can go make plays and just get the wins.
Speaking of the secondary, two interceptions against West Virginia after you watched the film and that fifth win, how would you rate the performance of the secondary at this point of the season?
Yeah, I feel like we're playing really good. I feel like there still is a few things that we can clean up that would just allow us to be, you know, an excellent defense. But I feel like right now, you know, everyone's in the right spot, doing the right things and making plays. That's a big thing we harp on this year, because last year we led the nation in picks, but this year we're trying to get up there too. So, you know, harping on the little things, just making plays, going and get the ball, trying to get that ball out, all those little things add up. And so I feel like those are just things that are going to help us be a great defense.
The last three games, and really from game to game, it feels like there's always somebody making a big play or two. I mean, you were the guy at East Carolina. Isaiah Glasker comes up with the big interception against Colorado on defense. Last week it was Trey Alexander and Tanner Wall, and you're involved in that play as well, disrupting. So how would you explain the versatility of the BYU defense right now?
I mean, it's just everybody wanting to make plays, you know. There's a lot of competition going around, too. So, you know, when you have players that want to make plays, I feel like it just fuels other people, you know. If he's making this many plays, at some point you're going to be like, all right, well, now it's my turn to make the plays. How can I get the ball? So I feel like when we're making plays like that, it just fuels other people to, you know, just make plays as well, you know. So I feel like that's a big thing for us.
Well, Trey Alexander fed off of that, and he told off, okay, mine's coming today. And like you did against East Carolina, he called it against West Virginia. What was it like for you to watch Trey come up with his first career interception?
I mean, those are things that are just amazing to see. You know, like, everyone in our room is my family, so when you see that, it's like your brother getting the interception. You know, you can't wait to just meet him in the end zone and celebrate with him. And so that's always fun to see. You know, hopefully I hope everyone in our room gets a pick, so that's my hope. But I love to see that, and I just love to see my brothers do good.
What has life with Trey in the secondary room been like this week?
Yeah, you know, Trey talks a lot, so it's always you always are entertained, so that's really fun to do. And, you know, we got close over the years. All of our whole room is close, so I feel like no matter who I'm out there with or whether we're just at dinner or something, you know, I trust those guys and I love those guys. So
Trey was very vocal about what it means to him to represent the Y. I know you feel strongly about that too. What does it mean to you to wear that stretch Y and Sailor Coug on your uniform and on the gear that you wear?
Yeah, it means a lot. I harped on this a while back, but you know, for a G to take a chance on a kid that has no offers, just a lot of interest, that means a lot, you know. I'll forever put my trust in G, just because, you know, to do that, it takes a lot of trust and just belief in someone. And so when someone puts that belief in you, it's hard for you not to, you know, give that same amount or even more amount of effort into, you know, them or the team. So I feel like, you know, knowing that and just knowing that the Y has given me this opportunity, I mean, how can you not want to rep it so proudly?
Well, they certainly believe in your capability against what's about to happen to BYU's schedule as it ramps up, beginning with Arizona. And Noah Fifita, a good passer and a passing attack that is certainly viable. So as you watch Arizona and we turn the page to the Wildcats, what is the first thing you notice about their offense?
They definitely like to throw the ball, so I think it's going to be a really fun game. It's going to be a great game for our secondary to really get to show that, you know, we can go out there and compete with the best and make those plays. So I feel like that's something I'm really excited for, just the opportunity to go out against, you know, a heavy passing threat team and just show that we can make plays.
You've seen Noah Fifita before. They visited Pro Bowl last year. So how does that game and a different team help you prepare for, at least in some way, this showdown in Tucson?
Yeah, it just allows us to just know what they like. You know, Coach Hill kind of has he's got a little couple things on him. So, you know, when you go against those guys and you kind of know what they're capable of. It allows you to play with a little more confidence because it's like, all right, we've been here. But at the same time, we're still coming in, you know, preparing, making sure everyone's ready and just getting ready to go out there and play.
Rain is definitely in the forecast for Tucson on Saturday night. So how are you and BYU preparing for those potential inclement weather conditions?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, we're a bad weather team. So I feel like we've just done a lot of preparing over the off season and coming into camp. So I feel like we'll be ready for that and just ready to take on that challenge. So I'm excited to see what that brings.
How do you feel like the rain that is so prominently in the forecast could impact the way the game plays out?
Yeah, I think it could impact it a lot, could not impact it at all, but I think, you know, might see a little less pass, but either way, you know, we're ready to strap up and go make plays. It doesn't really matter, rain or shine, you know, you get to go out and do what you love, so there's no excuses, no complaints, none of that.
You know all too well what it means to play as a BYU player on the road, and the fact that BYU fans show up, what's that like wherever you go to have that contingent of support?
You know, it's just one of a kind feeling. You know, you go to other stadiums and, you know, sometimes they're leaving at halftime, you know, but here, you know, when you have those diehard fans who are always willing to back you up, whether we're 5-7, whether we're 11-2, it doesn't matter what we are, just having those people come and just support us, that means the world to us. You know, to take a time out your day to come watch some 18-24-year-olds just play football and do what they love, I mean, you can't be anything but grateful.
A couple of quick hitters to finish up. I have to ask you about a moment in the Colorado game where fans are going after you. And I don't know if you even heard it in the moment. Maybe you did. But then you lay the hammer on a wide receiver. What do you remember about that play? And could you even hear the crowd?
Yeah, I could definitely hear the crowd. You know, you don't miss that. When they're yelling your last name, you don't miss it. But, I mean, that's just football, you know. I'm not really thinking about the crowd, you know. Everyone's talking about, like what could you have done, you know. It's just, you got to just play and go out there and just show them that, you know, that's why that last name's on my back, you know. That's why I'm going to make plays. So, didn't affect me, but it's cool to see that stuff, you know. When you start to get that stuff, you start to recognize that people are recognizing that you're making plays and stuff. So, yeah, that was fun.
What has you most confident in BYU's matchup with Arizona?
Just our preparation. You know, everyone in our room prepares very well, and everyone trusts their technique and trusts the people on the field. So when I go out there with 11 or 10 other guys that, you know, I trust with my whole heart, it makes it easy to go out and do my job because I know that they're going to be doing the right things, making those plays, and just playing with everything they got.
And then finally, what's in the headphones when you're warming up, Evan?
Ooh. Right now it's been like Nino Paid. Nobody knows who that is, but it's been Nino Paid. When I'm on the bus, I like to listen to like a lot more calmer music. You know, it gets my heart rate down. So I've been listening to Lofi. I listen to, let's see what else. That's about it. Okay. Nino Paid, Lofi, Laser Dim. Those are about the three.
Music connoisseur.
Yeah, I listen to everything.
Evan, let's give you some BYU Sports Nation karma for the game. We appreciate the time. Go and ball out, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Evan Johnson having a fantastic season, and I'm probably underselling that with what he has meant to the secondary. And Jason, when you look at this, according to our friend Cam Miller, just how productive Evan has been, this specific stat is the lowest passer rating opponent quarterbacks when targeted, looking for their receivers, of FBS cornerbacks, minimum 15 targets. Evan Johnson is shutting it down, Jason. 12? The passer rating is 12 when the receivers he is defending are targeted? Amazing.
It's remarkable what he has done. And obviously, with what he did in the Colorado game, in the ECU game. I mean, completely changed the momentum in that game. He single-handedly changed the momentum of that game.
You may have noticed that number two on that list was Javion Cole of
Arizona.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We got some guys ready to go to battle in their respective defensive back positions on Saturday night.
All right. If you want more of our interviews during the week, you can always find them on demand on the BYU Sports Nation YouTube channel.
After the break, tip times announced for some notable BYU basketball non-conference games. That and more on the way in headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store.
official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jason Shepherd. Now it's time for your Thursday headlines, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 18, BYU football continued prep for Saturday's road trip to Tucson to play the 4-1 Arizona Wildcats after practice. BYU defensive ends coach and special teams coordinator Kelly Papinga details the challenge that lies ahead for the Cougars against Noah Fifita and Arizona.
The collective receiver group is better. The running back core is better. I like their tight end. And he's obviously had a ton of experience. He's played a lot of football. So he knows where to throw the football, when to throw the football. He knows how to scramble all over the place. He might be the guy that throws it the best that we play all year this year. He throws the ball extremely well. And so we're going to have to be on our A game. And they're playing well as a whole entire team. Their defense is better this year. Special teams is better. Their team is better.
Pre-game coverage for Saturday night begins at 6 Eastern time on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
The initial midweek injury report for BYU football released yesterday just ahead of that game with Arizona. Notably, linebacker Jack Kelly listed as doubtful, but not out. Other linebackers, Isaiah Glasker, Ciala Acera, Miles Hall, and Naki Tuakoi listed as probable. Does BYU have a healthy linebacker? Ace Kafusi? Sione Moa, JoJo Phillips, and Che Bryant Strother remain the only three BYU players officially ruled out for Saturday night.
Tonight is the annual Marriott Madness event for BYU men's and women's basketball. Doors open to the public at 5 p.m. with the event starting at 6. At 7:30 tonight, the men's team's annual blue-white scrimmage will take place. It's going to be electric in there tonight.
Yes. Game time's official for BYU men's basketball in their Hall of Fame series games against Villanova and UConn. The Cougars' season opener against Villanova in Las Vegas will tip at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 6:30 Pacific on TNT Monday, November 3rd. BYU UConn will tip Saturday, November 15th in Boston at TD Garden at 7 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
BYU women's basketball has been picked 10th in the preseason coaches poll as announced by the conference this morning. This is the highest mark for BYU in the Big 12 preseason poll since entering the league. Delaney Gibb was unanimously named to the preseason All-Big 12 team. Gibb led BYU in scoring with 17.4 points per game a season ago, fourth in the conference in three-point percentage. Let's also not forget the reigning Big 12 Freshman of the Year. Gibb was one of six players unanimously selected to the preseason team and well-earned.
Yesterday, day two at the ITA Mountain Regional Championships for BYU Women's Tennis. Notable results include the doubles teams of Bella Lewis and Karina Muhammad, and Gracie Levelston and Kendall Kovic each winning their first two matches to advance to the round of 16. Congratulations. Play continues through Saturday.
And speaking of congratulations, had good luck to BYU Men's Tennis as they're in San Diego for the Intercollegiate Championships beginning today through Saturday.
Still on the way, BYU running back Sione Moa details his journey to BYU through hard work and dedication in his latest Deep Blue. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation, we are live in Studio B. BYU football running back Sione Moa was facing a decision between walking on at BYU, no scholarship, or taking a scholarship elsewhere. So he decided to put his faith in God to show him the way. Once he got his answer, Sione's hard work and determination ultimately paved his way to success. This is Deep Blue.
I claim Victorville, but I actually grew up in a little city outside of that city called Adelanto.
There's a sign right when you drive into Adelanto, and that sign says, the city of unlimited possibilities.
We probably laughed for a very long time.
There's nothing out there. There's nothing out there.
I think there's unlimited dirt and unlimited desert.
The opportunities really is something you have to create yourself.
One summer, we came back from visiting Utah, and my children really wanted to move to Utah.
We moved from Victorville to Provo. Going throughout junior year, I feel like I had a a pretty okay season. It was kind of difficult because me and my brother came in like a week or so before our first game.
My boys didn't play, pretty much. It was kind of disappointing because they weren't the bench type. They worked hard, they do what they were told to do so that they could be on the court and on the field.
People are getting offered like left to right. All like my teammates, my brothers are getting offered from these Division I schools, BYU. And I was just sitting there, I was trying to be patient. You know, I was like, okay, my time will come. I still have another year left. Like I'll be okay. Like this is good.
He made a dramatic change from his junior to senior year just by gaining weight, be getting faster, stronger. Game after game, he's putting up numbers on both sides of the ball.
Whenever we needed him, of course, coaches would put him in that position to help our team.
I had taken a visit to BYU. The OC at the time, he came to one of our Timview games, and then he hit me up on Twitter, and he was like, hey, I want to come meet you. And I remember going to the facility, and he looks at me, and he's like, oh, you're a lot shorter than I expected. I felt some type of way after that comment. It kind of lit a fire in me. I didn't meet with BYU after that. Like, they didn't reach back out to me.
He kept playing as hard as he could. I would always mention to him, they'll find you. You just got to keep working. And so as a father, I was worried more about what's going on in here and in here versus what he's doing on the field, because on the field, he took care of everything.
It was heartbreaking because although he was so like excited for his team members and his friends getting all of these offers and celebrating with them, as a mom, you can tell when your child is just, you know, a little down. But he never said anything. He just said, what more can I do?
Coach Harvey Unga, he reached out to me expressing his interest. The coaches at PWO'd me and said I was too short and whatnot. They all left. And so like my mind and my heart was more open towards BYU again. And then Navy also wanted me to go on a visit over there as well.
I didn't have any scholarships at the time to give. And I know he was deciding between us, Navy, because Navy had offered him a scholarship.
Paying for school is hard. For me, I'm always like, okay, well, wherever the scholarships are, that's where you guys are gonna go for all my children.
With everything he was dealing with, I said, you know what? Go and play on God's field. I said, he won't let you down.
I remember opening my mission call.
You are assigned to labor in the California Center.
The place was just, it just erupted. Like, it was super loud because all my family, that's where they're from. That's where they still live and whatnot. And so like I'm just going back to them. San Bernardino County is the county that Victorville and Adelanto's in. And so Victorville and Adelanto's part of my mission.
I remember after he had told me that, I laughed a little bit. And I asked him, I said, so what are you gonna do about it? Like, are you gonna talk to Prez? You wanna change it up or anything like that? And I remember he just was like, no, like, this is where I gotta be. I gotta be here.
In the beginning of my mission, it really stressed me out. I'm still not decided. Thankfully, we had a temple in our mission. I remember during my first temple visit, I'm just sitting there. I'm just thinking about everything. I said a little prayer to myself and was like, all right, Heavenly Father, like, just lead me to a scripture that is something that I need to hear right now. I said that little prayer in my heart, and then I opened the scriptures. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. When I read those scriptures, I just started crying in the celestial room. In that moment, I can say, like, I felt him with me. Christ, he felt the same way. He felt everything that I was feeling so that he can give me that comfort that I was seeking. And just having that knowledge and have that knowledge of the atonement of Jesus Christ and knowing that I can be healed if I just put my trust and put my all into our Savior and our Heavenly Father, then I'd be okay. And so since then, from that point on to my mission, like, I was fine. I got my answers. I got the comfort that I needed, and BYU was a place, but I wasn't focusing on it anymore. I was focused on the people that I was serving, the people I was teaching, and the love that I had for my Heavenly Father.
The Cougars take the field in a sold-out Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
I just remember looking and I was like, Dad, I think none is in right now. I don't think he came out. I think that's him. I remember we all looked and we're like, is he starting right now? And we're all surprised.
Our section, we're going wild. It almost looks like we're fighting up there.
I just thought this was everything he's worked his whole football life for.
They took a full chance on him, and I think that's all my brother needed was just that full chance.
To be on the field with his brothers and just being part of a bigger picture and playing his little part in that.
That boy right there made my family really proud of him.
The environment we were in, like I said, I was starting, like, it'd be only right if I finished off with the touchdown. I just start running. I break a couple tackles, and then one of the Kansas State players, he's flying, but then he trips. Like, you can see my ankle just fully under him. After that, like, I was like, oh, wait, I'm still up.
We're like, this kid's not gonna give up. He's gonna say, you put me in this position, I'm gonna show you and give you everything I've got.
I break a couple more tackles, and all of a sudden, I find myself in the end zone.
Oh, man, we were going crazy. My phone is blowing up because they said, Sione Moore from Victorville, California. I said, you put down Victorville, California? He's like, I'm from Victorville, not Provo. I said, oh, man, way to represent for all those boys back home.
In a way, it wouldn't be possible for me to be here where I am right now, succeeding at BYU or succeeding in life, if it wasn't for Adelanto, if it wasn't for that city of unlimited possibilities.
All the feels in that. And the pride of Adelanto, we know he's dealing with a leg injury right now. He's working to get back. We're hopeful that he's going to be a part of BYU's stretch run in November, Jason.
Well, and we got to see what he was able to bring to the table, backing up L.J. Martin. And you know, when the injury was announced that he was going to be out for a little bit, that was a loss because we got to see exactly what Sione brought to the table. So I can't wait to get him back. And certainly what an unbelievable story he has.
Yeah. Faith, family, and football all combined into one there. No doubt about that.
All right. If you miss any interviews, shows, or Deep Blues, you can find them on BYUSN.com or you can download the BYU TV app to get all of the BYU Sports Nation content you want on demand.
After the break, today's elite voice and rise and shout out. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory.
Welcome back to the show with our question of the day. After looking at BYU's injury report and understanding there's an over 90% chance of rain in Tucson for the game, how does that shift your expectations for BYU at Arizona? German Kugan X says, I'm equally interested in the consequences coming out of this game as the game itself. Looking back on the season, this game could easily be the defining moment for the season. It'll be a very tough game. Losing could lead to a downward trend. Winning can boost for what's ahead. It's a great point.
There's a lot riding on. This is the beginning of an unbelievable stretch for BYU football.
We're going to talk about some of those points on tomorrow's show because they are incredibly valid. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX, healthcare careers built for victory, from @SammyJ.onX, who says, the rain will slow down the tempo, which works to BYU's favor. BYU wins 24-17.
I'll take it.
You should take a win in any way, shape,
yes,
or form.
Even
you
if it's 24-23,
it.
Take
it. Doesn't matter. This game could get really weird.
Yeah.
Really weird. Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about we give it to the BYU football athletic training staff, getting these guys ready and making sure that if they do have any injuries, that they're taken care of. So it's a big rise and shout out to the training staff for BYU football.
They've been very busy.
They have been busy.
And they're doing incredible work. So keep it up, gentlemen and ladies, for that matter. It takes a community to keep that BYU football team ready to go for each game. Our thanks to today's guest, Evan Johnson.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows you can find on demand. All you need to do is go to BYUSN.com.
For Jason Shepherd, I am Spencer Linton. Shout out to the entire Steve Vail family as we remember him today. We'll see you tomorrow for a Friday edition of BYU Sports Nation from Provo and Tucson. Go Cougs!